The Apostle Peter gave his confession. He said that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then the Lord Jesus Christ said, I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, I believe strongly in the local church. That's God's program for this age. Those that talk about the other church, the least you could say, or the most you could say for it, I suppose, it's never had a meeting, it's never called a pastor, never elected deacons, never sent out missionaries, none of that. And so we emphasize, as the Scripture emphasizes, the local New Testament church.
Amen.
That body of believers that have been baptized by immersion because they were saved and have united together in one locale for the purpose of worshiping the Lord, the winning souls, and then of having instruction from the Word of God on the entire counsel of God. And so the local church is extremely important. And I, of course, note in my Bible that the local church is going to be raptured. The churches are going to go out. Jesus comes, he's going to say, come up hither, and we're going up, and of course that's the end of the church age. But the local churches and the church ministries will be remembered all throughout eternity. I can picture somebody someday, a million years from now, sitting on a cloud, and Bob Barnett maybe calling Dr. Bob Doom over, and Doomsday Preacher there, and saying, I remember back in that church age. So the church is etched in the hearts and the minds of believers, and it shall be remembered all throughout eternity. That is one of the great institutions. The other great institution, I think it's a great institution, is the Dean Burgon Society. And I don't put the Dean Burgon Society over a local church. Jesus Christ established the local church. But the Dean Burgon Society is a great society. It's a great work, primarily because it's a one-issue oriented ministry, talking about the defense of the authorized King James Version of the Bible, and in particular the underlying Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic manuscripts that give us this wonderful book. So the Dean Burgon Society, one-issue society, is a tremendous society, just as a local church is a tremendous ministry. All through the Bible, the New Testament, you have the local church. Beginning, I think, at Pentecost, the local church began there, the ministry of the church. And you have all of your epistles written to churches, the epistle to Rome, epistles to Corinth, to the churches in Galatia, and many churches, local churches, started in homes. That's where probably most or maybe all of them did in the early days. You have Philemon has a church in his home, and he was the pastor of that church. And Philemon, I wonder sometimes if his wife bellyached a little bit sometime with people coming in and messing up the furniture and all of that back in those days. Well, there are lots of churches that start in homes. We pastored two churches that started in homes, and thank God that the second one got out of the home before we moved into it, but it started in that home. But local churches are extremely important. They usually begin with just a little group of believers, somebody that gets a burden to win their children to Jesus, or they discover that the local modernist pastor is not doing the job and they want somebody to come in and preach the Word of God, and they'll bring some preacher in often enough who has to work for a while, and they start a little church, and those churches grow and they amount to something because they have this unalterable, inspired Word of the living God that they're able to preach from. And so we exalt, as does the Bible, the local churches. Very, very important to have our local churches, no question about that. A high regard for Scripture will quickly identify one with a local church. Every Dean Burgon Society member has to have a love for a local church. He must, because he loves the Scripture. And if you're honest with the Scripture, you're always going to be taken to the truths of the Scripture, and they will identify the importance of local churches. And the Dean Burgon Society has members in its society, every member, I would suppose, certainly all those that are on the executive committee, that believe in the local church. How very important this is. And this Dean Burgon Society, called on to defend the Word of God, is a one-issue society. Now, there are people that don't understand that. They don't understand how you can just be a one-issue society. That's sort of like my little grandson. I was taking him one day to some quizzing. We have a quiz team in our church, and they do quite well, I would mention also. But in taking my two little grandsons, one in the back seat, one in the front seat, the other one preferred to stay home, and that was before the fourth one was born, all four boys. I was taking the two to a quiz one Saturday evening, and on the way I took them by McDonald's. They sort of like to stop at the Arches and have something. And when we pulled into that place, why, I ordered three Happy Meals, one for the boy in the back, 5 years old, one for Mikey in the front, who's 7 years old, and one for myself. And while I was ordering, and then I pulled my billfold out to pay for it, my little grandson said to me, Grandpa, he said, where do you get your money? And I thought, what in the world? And I looked over at him and I said, well, Mikey, I said, what do you mean, where do I get my money? Well, he said, Grandpa, I mean, where do you get your money? He said, you don't work. You see, there's some people that don't understand. They just don't understand what's going on. But the Dean-Bergen Society is a one-issue society, and that one-issue society must hold the local church in high esteem, because it's the Bible that exalts the local church. That's God's program for this particular age. And so the Dean-Bergen Society is closely aligned to the local church. And we say also that the Dean-Bergen Society, in light of the fact that it is a one-issue society, it leaps over denominational boundaries. It does. But it will stay within the framework of the cardinal doctrines of the faith. There are people that are not Baptist. I'm a Baptist. I'm a Baptist by conviction. I was a youth pastor in a non-denominational church for a couple of years back in 1968. And I wouldn't go back to non-denomination. It was a good church. But I'm a Baptist by conviction. There's certain things that we believe. But the Dean-Bergen Society, in light of the fact that it is a one-issue society, leaps properly over denominational boundaries. There are other churches that are not Baptist churches, but they believe the truth of the Word of God. This authorized King James Bible that we have. So, we can leap over that with the Dean-Bergen Society. All sound churches believe, whether they're Baptist churches or some other type of a church, they will all believe the cardinal doctrine. They'll believe in the virgin birth of our Lord. They'll believe in the vicarious sacrifice and the necessity of the shedding of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary to make payment for their sin. Every true Christian believes that, whether he's a Baptist or something else. And they will all believe in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, being one God in three persons. They will believe in the verbal plenary inspiration of the Word of God. They believe in the deity of Christ. If a person does not believe in the deity of Jesus Christ, he is lost and on his way to hell. He needs to be converted. He needs to have a change of mind, a change of heart. He doesn't need a new start. He needs a new heart. And if he believes the truth of the Word of God, then we can reach out to him. And we say simply that the Dean-Bergen Society can leap over denominational boundaries within the framework of the cardinal doctrines of the Word of God. He will believe that salvation is by faith in Christ alone, with no admixture of works to get him into heaven. They all believe that there's a literal heaven and a literal hell, and that both are eternal. Now that's changing. In our state, it's changing. We're going to go back through the same kind of problems that they had when the old Found Street Baptist Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan, that sponsored many, many other good, solid churches, and that church then just two pastors away from modernism. Your church is about two pastors away. All you got to do is get involved with this new evangelical business, this business of trying to reach anybody with any means just so you get a big crowd. That's all right. You get involved with that, get the kind of pastor that'll take you that way, and you'll find after a while, if he has no principles that he's going to follow, that you're just a short distance away from out-and-out liberalism and modernism. And so we say that you have to stay within the frameworks of the cardinal doctrines of the faith. The Dean-Bergen Society could be compared, I suppose, to the American Council of Christian Churches. This leaps denominational boundaries, but stays within that framework of the cardinal doctrines of the faith. Very, very important that we recognize this. And so we say simply that the Dean Bergeron Society would not need to align with a particular local church, but they will all be people that believe in these strong doctrines that are clear, that if you're missing any of them, then you're lost. I don't think a person that denies the Trinity is a saved person. How can he be? He's not a saved person if he denies that. He cannot be saved if he believes that you get into heaven some other way than via the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. An impossibility. And so we say simply that this is the direction that we believe we ought to go. Churches change in their purpose and their direction. Churches today, many times, are not the same as they were 20 years ago. You have a church that 20 years ago, maybe they had a good pastor. And the pastor was a strong, authorized virgin man. Had the deacons, and they all subscribed to it, and were standing very true to the position that we hold in the Dean Bergeron Society. If you were aligned to that church, let's suppose that the Dean Bergeron Society were in that church, and they were all a part of that particular local church. Say it's the First Baptist Church of some city somewhere. There it is. They're a part of that particular local church. They got a pastor that stands for the Word of God. They got deacons that stand for the Word of God. And it is infiltrated into the pews, and all the people know that church stands there. Let's have the pastor then called off into another church. God gives him a divine call. Or maybe he retires. And for whatever the reason, he leaves. Let's take a couple of deacons. And let's take two of those deacons and let them, because of a job change, move from the city. Strong King James men. They move out of the city, into another city, locate with another church. Let's take another deacon, and he dies. And then let's take two others and send them down into Florida, and they're moving there permanently. They're retired and gone. Here you have the pastor and most of the deacons gone. You're going to get a new pastor. That pastor comes in, and when he comes in, he doesn't feel the same way about the King James Bible. He's got to use it, because the people will get mad if he doesn't use it, because they've been used to it, and he's going to use it, but he doesn't feel that way. Some deacons are elected, and they're their charismatic type. The fellows with the charisma, the business community, and they're interested in just getting a crowd to come in, and they can cut some corners in this business of the Scriptures, because there's some people offended. They'd rather use an NIV, use a New American Standard Version, and so they're allowing everything to come in. I'm saying that if the Dean Bergeron Society were associated in that particular church, there'd be some fur flying somewhere. I'm telling you, the pastor would have a little problem, because he'd have a problem. I know he'd have a problem with Dr. Waite. He'd have a problem with all the other people. They'd say, look, this pastor's not for us. And so they'd have to leave that church, that particular church. So we say simply that the Dean Bergeron Society leaps over denominational boundaries because they are a one-issue society. If that issue dies, the Dean Bergeron Society is gone. It is no more. And so we stand true in that particular area. So this is very, very important for us to realize this. Churches go downhill. That's the trend. That's the second law. That's what it is. The second law of thermodynamics. Two laws. First law, conservation of energy. No more energy being created. It's all the same as when God created in the beginning. Same amount of energy, but the energy is going to flow downhill. And as time goes on, things rust out and they wear out and all that. Same is true in the minds of men, and the same is true in churches. Unless there's a strong church with strong people in the pews, strong leadership there, they will not stay true to the Word of God. And there's a trend to go against that which is correct and that is proper. So we say simply that because the Dean Bergeron Society is a one-issue society, it can leap over denominational boundaries. So this is vital, and it's very, very important. The one-issue society that we have with the Dean Bergeron is sort of like the semi-driver that he had just one thing on his mind as he was leaving the parking lot that day. He'd gone into the restaurant, and after showering, pulling in, resting up a little, and showering, and ordering his meal, he ordered a hamburger and some French fries, and a cup of coffee and was seated there just as it came. Why, three fellows came in from their motorcycles. They'd parked them out in the parking lot, and as they moved into the restaurant, one of them went over and picked up his hamburger. Another fellow got his french fries, and the third picked up his coffee, started drinking, and the truck driver sat there startled about the whole affair. Pretty soon, he just reached in his pocket and put 50 cents on the table and laid her out there and went over to the cashier, paid the check, and went on out and drove away. One of those motorcycle fellows said to the other, said he didn't have much courage, did he? And then the waitress come over and said, yeah, he said he couldn't drive too good either. Said he'd just run over three motorcycles out in the parking lot there. And he had one thing on his mind when he operated this. Well, the Dean Burgon Society operates with one thing on our mind, defending the King James Bible. That's what we're about. That's what we want to do. That's what's in our heart. We don't do it because we say, well, I've got to do it. We do it because we do have to do it. It's not talking about it. It's not saying, oh, man, I've got to do this. No, no. No, no. We do it because it's a normal movement of the Spirit of God upon those that have a love for the Word of God. How vital, how important, how very necessary for you and for me. So we say to you as we close here tonight that we remind you simply that the Scripture says, thou hast magnified thy Word above all thy name. And I like the little cartoon that my son that's going to be visiting with us with his six children in just a couple of weeks sent to me recently. It had the picture of a stork, one of those big birds that have those long legs sticking in the swamp, you know. And on this picture of the stork, there's a frog that's in the beak of the stork. It's about ready to go down, and he's got his arms. He's got his front legs around that stork's neck, and the caption there is, never quit. And blessed be God, we cannot quit on this thing. It's got to be built into our souls. And we thank God that the Dean Burgon Society is standing just there